weapon technique.
You're listening to the Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios located at Wakefield Crowbar.
Welcome back in, Wakefield Crowbar, Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5. This is the place to be right now, as you can tell. All of our listeners are here, all four of them.
Drink specials are phenomenal, by the way.
They are. They are very good. Right now, happy hour until 6, $3 Modelo Big Beers, 50-cent boneless wings. Brian, what is that, little Garpar? Lemon pepper? Lemon pepper boneless wings, $3 Modelo Big Beer, $4 lemon drop shots, $5 green tea shots. Also, this is your spot to be all weekend long. Tomorrow night, Tejano night, Los Clásicos starting at 8 o'clock, no cover. Saturday, Kentucky Derby by day, a bunch of fights at night. Canelo Alvarez fights, De La Hoya's new poster boy, and then UFC 301, no cover here at Wakefield Crowbar ever for any of the fights. And then Sunday, Cinco de Mayo drink specials, DJ Mariachi performance in the afternoon. It's going to be a great time. It's going to be a lot of fun. All right, 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776, 0002. Dude, just admit it, as a Cougar fan, you're not a fan of Bonfire exclamation point. You talk out of both sides of your mouth. I'd like to see Green succeed. I'd like a replacement for Green. Agree to disagree. Still going to listen to the show, though. I don't have too much issue with the Aggies. Yeah, do I like Houston more than A&M? Yes. Do I have some issues with A&M? I really don't. I don't have a whole lot of issues.
I don't think that you do. I think what we try to pride ourselves with this show all the time is we're just going to give you our honest thoughts. I mean, it's the beauty of not being a flagship to a station, and even with the Aggies, I think we're honest if the topic comes up. But I think that I don't really recall you having any kind of particular.
No, I have a lot of friends there.
Axe to grind with the Aggies.
My brother actually goes to school there. I have a brother that's a freshman at Texas A&M.
Really?
Just like I had a sister who graduated from Texas. So. Now, like maybe I don't root for them in games or whatever against certain teams, but whenever one of their players becomes a pro, I don't hold their alum against them as a professional. Like, do I want Kenyon Green to fail as a Houston Texan because he's a Texas A&M Aggie? That's outrageous. Plus, he went to Atascocita. Like, that's my old stomping grounds.
Like, he came on our show right after he was drafted.
Yeah, so that's I see where you're coming from, 0002, but that's not the case. I'm not rooting for him to fail because he's an Aggie. I'm rooting for him to succeed because he's a Texan
right.
And because he's an Atascocita Eagle. All right, anyways, Nick Caserio is easily the best GM of the big three in this city. Cash or trash?
Cash it.
I think it's not even close.
It's not.
Brian gives us thumbs up because he's got lemon pepper boneless wings in his mouth. Who's second, though? I think that's where the conversation begins. Is it Dana Brown? Is it Rafael Stone? Who's the second best general manager in this city in the big three?
It's hard for me to say. But okay. I think it's Rafael Stone. I think because of the fact that what we don't know, but what we've heard of and what we've seen so far is that Dana Brown is more of a puppet than he is a general manager. That whether he's capable or not, we may never know. But it seems like the Crane Gang is what's pulling the trigger on all the moves and making the decisions with the Astros. And it's been very disappointing because a lot of the moves since Dana Brown has been here are being tagged to Bagwell, blamed on Bagwell and Crane. And that tells you all you need to know about who's actually making the decisions. Whereas I think Rafael Stone does have to get some sign-off and approval on some things. But I think that Rafael Stone is a guy that's going to be allowed to do his job. And more times than not, the young players, the young draft picks that they've had, have had a better chance to succeed than they have to completely fail. And I think that he's done a good enough job. And because of the fact that Dana's hands are tied, that Stone is second.
I don't even know what we could give either credit or take away credit from Dana Brown for. Like, I mean, when you look at some of even the moves he has made, like re-signing Altuve, like every GM would have re-signed Altuve. You know, adding Josh Hader if the owner gives you the money to do it, basically everyone would have
done
that.
I think that was Crane's move. I think that was his direction.
And that's kind of the overall point. Like, I mean, either they're moves that every GM would have made if given the financial resources to do so, or there are moves that we know are layered in five different people being involved at a panel, whether it be Reggie Jackson or Jeff Bagwell or whoever, whatever the other former player is getting in Jim Crane's ear. So it's impossible to say what moves Dana Brown's even made to be able to even give him credit or take away credit.
I would give him two moves that I think are very clearly his. Because I don't think that Bagwell and Mr. October and Crane are doing the small peanuts.
I have
stuff.
One that comes to mind.
Renell Blanco is the first one.
Yes, like, I agree with that.
And that might have been out of desperation. Like, you know, in, what is the old saying? That invention is the...
Desperation is the mother of invention.
That's it. Desperation is the mother of invention. Like, they, it might have been that. It might have been like with Dana Brown, oh, wow, look at this Renell Blanco. This guy's going to be a starter. It might have been desperation, invention, blah, 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 blah. The second one would be Victor Carantini.
Yeah, that was the one I had in mind.
Like,
yeah.
Jeff Bagwell, Mr. October, and Jim Crane are not, you know, worried about backup catcher or a fringe big leaguer. So those would be the two that I would give to Dana Brown. But you're right. Everything else is like, I don't know how much Dana Brown actually has input or power to do whatever he wants.
Especially when you think of and you're being told that decisions are being made by a committee of ex-Major League Baseball players, it's hard to put any faith or stock in the fact that you've got a shrewd and savvy general manager that was brought in to be able to evaluate young talent, get guys on good contracts before they become available on the open market, and rebuild the farm system and get players when needed. It seems like literally he is a front man and a puppet for the owner and his cronies.
Yeah. 713-780-ESPN 9331. If we're assuming that Nick is the number one GM in the city, Stone is number two. We're not really sure who the GM of the Astros is. We think Dana Brown, but that could be a four-headed monster. I would have Rafael Stone second as well. Like, Stone has built – like, Dana Brown inherited a lot of talent. How much has Dana Brown added to the talent that he's inherited? Not a ton. Rafael Stone, and you could say that he fell into picks and things like that, he has turned – I mean, he took over whenever Harden was demanding a trade. Westbrook was still around. So he's turned a complete rebuild into a solid foundation where the arrow looks like it's pointing in the right way, and certainly he got a lot of help with Ime Udoka. So I would have Stone clearly as the two.
Plus he traded for Alpi.
Yeah, traded up in the
he
draft
made some
for Alpi.
Bad draft picks, which are going to happen later in the first round, but when you trade for a guy that could be a cornerstone-type player on your team like Alpi, that's a great move.
Yeah, the Alpi move is single-handedly. Just that move alone would be enough to put Rafael Stone
above Dana Brown.
Right. Yeah.
8532 says that Bagwell is second. the boos that Bagwell, we think, made Jose Abreu.
Yeah, Brantley.
Brantley with the shoulder, which Bagwell, of all people, should know about bad shoulders.
Montero,
and probably. I think that Hader was more Crane. But, I mean, it could have been all of them.
A report from Chandler Rome that he had, Crane, that is, had been obsessed with Josh Hader. And Blake Snell was the other guy he'd been obsessed with. For some reason, they got cheap on Blake.
After Verlander,
Blake
he got
Snell.
Him back
yeah.
again.
But, yeah, I would attribute those three moves for sure to Bagwell.
9331, if we're assuming that Nick is the number one GM in the city, Stone is number two. We're not really sure who the GM of the Astros is. We think Dana Brown, but it could be a four-headed monster. I think I read that one. 8532, Ballard is the best GM in football, hands down. Signed, Colt fan. Odds that's Lance Zierlein texting into the show.
It's his burner.
Is Lance Zierlein's burner.
Lance has a burner?
I don't know.
It just could have been his real number. We wouldn't have known the difference.
No.
6517, Rafael Stone, Dana's head of scouting, not general manager. I think that's fair.
It is. But again, if you're Dana Brown, you have any control at all, when the owner wants to go back and get JV again, you would think that he would have been a little bit more protective of some of the guys that they did draft
Well, he didn't draft them.
Well, but I said the team drafted, but that he would be protective if he saw the talent in them. But I just think overall what we know is what we have seen, and that is that when big moves are made, it doesn't come out and no one's giving Dana Brown credit for the moves that are made. It's Crane talking about it, and he's basically giving credit to the committee.
To be fair, the Verlander trade, he said the one player he had to hold on to is Jacob Melton. And people at the time were like, well, Gilbert's better than Melton, and Clifford's better than Melton. Jacob Melton today in the new Baseball America updated top 100. Jacob Melton was 73, and Drew Gilbert was 74.
Okay.
So maybe he got the
score
players
one for
right
Dana
there.
Brown.
Yeah, maybe Dana Brown got that one right.
So
we'll see. I mean, we'll.
In your opinion, had there not been a personal difference that caused the two to separate, where would James Click be in this conversation?
Well, we don't know what he'd done since.
Well, I guess just based off
the body of work.
Because I think it's safe to assume he wouldn't have made the Abreu deal for sure. And I don't think he'd have done the Montero deal either. And I think
would he have done the Brantley deal?
I think they would have brought Brantley back, but I don't think at that number.
If you give him full power, I don't think he does any of those. I don't think he would mess with an older player coming off a major shoulder surgery.
I think he's two.
I think he's one. I would have him number one. Like he took a team that had major problems, especially in the bullpen, and made them a World Series champion. Like, we like the splash moves and certainly prisoner of the moment. We love the direction the Texans are going in, and I think they are a championship contender. James Click won a title, and James Click filled, like, fixed major holes in a team that eventually won its World Series. So I would have him number one.
Now, for the sake of pushback and because of the fact that whether it's completely deserved or not, because of the fact that Caserio is going to get credit for CJ, and he drafted him, whether he fell into his lap or not, I think that that's why Caserio would be number one in my book, that the Will Anderson trade worked out. The fact that you got your quarterback, your franchise quarterback, I think the pushback would be because he did those things and those are credited to him, that he would be a slight notch above Click.
You want stars or you want titles?
Well, I understand what you're saying too, but I think that we know how hyper important the quarterback position is in professional sports. So whether right or wrong, he's going to get the extra credit for getting the franchise quarterback.
Do you want stars or titles?
I want titles.
Click's won.
I get it. I know where you're going with it. I just think that if you know, to you throw the question out to the general public, I think the reason why Caserio would probably nudge out Click is because of CJ.
Beaumont Todd says that second best GM is Kelvin Sampson. If we're throwing him in, he's number one. Brandon T, has someone won the gift card, was just on hold for 20
yes,
minutes.
Yes.
Yeah, someone won. Sorry, Brandon T, to keep you on hold.
Yeah, Austin told us the second caller that called in got it, so someone was clearly paying attention.
1-2-6-4, remember before the trade deadline last year, Dana Brown said that Gilbert was untouchable. GMs are going to talk up their prospects, though. Like, GMs are going to say really good things about their prospects to keep the stock high on that player. Dana Brown, Spencer Arrighetti, is a Rookie of the Year candidate. Stock high on that player. Now, it might kind of deceive your fan base, which is a little bit dangerous, but you're going to talk up your prospects.
Nick Caserio talking about Kenyon Green, and not just Nick Caserio, but also D'Amico. The fact that, you know, he was a warrior. He did everything we asked him to do. We knew that, you know, this was a tough situation for him. They're going to constantly talk up their draft picks.
What is Dana Brown supposed to do in that situation? Say someone's very available? No, he's going to say he's untouchable. That way, if you're trying to get that player, then you then have to pay a higher value to acquire that player.
I think Dana does talk a little too much, but at the same point, I'd rather err on the side of talking a player up than talking a player down. I would take that.
Just for overall future value, whether it be in the recent, in the short term or the long term, GMs are always going to oversell their stock.
They have to.
Yeah. Now, you can temper expectation a little bit at the same time, which I think was where Dana struggles and where Caserio probably, like, maybe goes a little too far. Caserio is making big moves, says 1489. Dana Brown, not even in the conversation. Brown can't even get us trash off the scrap heap, says 6517. It's not from a lack of trying, though. I mean, Dylan Coleman, Parker Mashinsky, Joel Coolnell.
Oliver Ortega, who got hurt.
Ortega. He picked up a lot of guys on the trash heap. They just didn't really stick.
He brought Souza in, right, last year?
Yeah, he had to have, right, because he wasn't in the organization.
Right. Yeah.
He would have had to have brought him in. It's unfortunate he got hurt, too, because I think he would have been in this bullpen.
It's hard to be so critical of him, though, simply because he just basically is neutered. He has no control.
This texture, Click won a title. He would be number one. Dusty Click, make Astros champions again, 2025. Cool, I'm down.
Either one. I would even consider, and Hinch is not going anywhere with what he's doing with the Tigers right now, but I would say that we had the texture the other day. If you had the choice of either one, they're better than what you got. I would take Hinch and Luno, and I would take Click and Dusty back again.
If you could have the option of one, Dusty Click, which one of the two are you taking?
So I don't get Luno or AJ?
Nope. You have to pick the one. And then I guess you have to live with the one that you currently have.
I just think that it's still a better situation to go with Dusty and Click.
No.
Dusty or Click? I take Click.
Yeah, I would too.
Take Click, too.
Team's too good.
Assuming Click actually gets to be GM, right, and whatever Dana Brown's doing.
Joe was here with the analytics of Luno and AJ. Joe's been here with Dusty as well, but he knows what to expect of a Click and the decisions that he makes, and they're on the same page analytically enough to where he'd have a better roster because Click would have not done what we've said, probably improved the roster where we thought that they had holes and needed it and where he thought so, and they'd probably be a better team on paper no matter how they were playing, and you would assume they'd play better too.
Yeah, I would take Click as well. That would be the one I took. Give me Click and Espada. I think Dusty's better, but I would take Click and Espada. All right, 713-780-ESPN. Killer Bees broadcasting live from Wakefield Crowbar. Mentioned Nick Caserio. Caserio says that he expects to release some players in the next few weeks. Who is on the chopping block? Killer Bees from a live Wakefield Crowbar on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
ESPN.
97.5. You're back with the Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios located at Wakefield Crowbar. Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
We are live at Wakefield Crowbar. We're taking advantage of some Thursday specials. $6 cheeseburgers, $6 makers, $25 Modelo buckets. Happy hour for the next 37 minutes. 50-cent boneless wing, $10 specialty pizzas, $3 Modelo Big Beers, $4 lemon drop shots, $5 green tea shots, $29 high noon buckets. How about this coming up this weekend? Starting tomorrow night, Tejano Night, Los Clásicos, live music, no cover, starting at 8 o'clock, Saturday, Kentucky Derby by day, bet on the ponies. And then at night, Canelo talking all this smack, which it's... I love listening to him cuss in English because his accent in English is hilarious, especially whenever it's a bad word. But Canelo fights tomorrow night, UFC 301. Both of them have no cover. Going to be fantastic. And then Sunday, Cinco de Mayo drink specials, a DJ mariachi performance in the afternoon, too. This is your weekend plan, whatever night it is, Friday, Saturday, or Sunday. All right, Nick Caserio says that he expects to make some cuts in the next few weeks. Who is on the chopping block? Cody, you know, he was on with us earlier. Cody Davis mentioned Quentin Tarantino, which, okay, yeah. I mean, then you have Stover. You have Brevin Jordan. You know, you're going to carry a fullback. Do you need to keep a fourth tight end? Probably not. Tarantino's probably a guy, too, that I don't think he's going to be claimed around the NFL.
No.
You could probably stash him on the practice squad. So I think it's a good name. Who do you think's on the chopping block?
I still am going to throw Robert Woods' name out there. I still think Robert Woods, because I think you could still upgrade the position. I think you have options with the position. I think that he was a guy that filled a void and was a veteran in the room a year ago. But I think that with what you have now with your big three and the fact that you have Noah Brown back, and if that $5 million makes some sense for you to do something else, then I think that's another name that I would put close to the list of guys that could be on the chopping block.
Yeah, I think that Woods could become expendable too. Now, doing it in the next couple of weeks doesn't make a whole lot of sense because, like, why not carry him into camp? If you have an injury to, like, Noah Brown, then you have a guy who knows your scheme. He's solid. He's there. Like, he's not super expensive. Like, if you cut him after June 1st,
sure,
you're only saving $5 million. You currently have $23.6 million left in cap space, according to Over the Cap, and you're going to save, you know, $5, $7 million to have some operating expense as well. What I find interesting, I'm surprised he said that, quite frankly, because Caserio doesn't really tip his hand when it comes to that sort of thing. And then secondly, I wonder what they're trying to use this money for. Like $23.5 million, like can they roll some, like yes, they can roll some of it over, but like how much of it? I also wonder, like, if they're thinking an extension with a young player like Nico Collins, and if they could use some of the cap savings this year to pay part of that deal for Nico Collins. I'm not a cap savant when it comes to the NFL, but I wonder if that's the thinking there.
I think it's possible, and I think the other thing that when you hear him talk and when we start looking at the roster is that, yes, they could field a roster that's good enough to take the field tomorrow, but at the same time, we still know that you want to have depth on this team. You want to have flexibility and insurance all at the same time with the corner position. If the guys you brought in might not be as good as some of the veterans that are still out there that we talked about, that might be a better upgrade at the other corner position. If you look at a linebacker and you want to upgrade To'o To'o and you think that there's a linebacker that's still on the open market that's a veteran that fits the scheme a little bit better, you have the option to do that, and you don't have to go bare minimum on the salary. No matter how much you spend to sign all your draft picks, you could get that extra five if you need it. You're right. You don't have to do it right away. But still, because you have 20-plus, I think there's a chance that though. And again, don't sleep on the backup running back position. That's also another one.
Yeah. I just don't know how much of any of that's costing you. Like, I don't see that costing a whole lot. Like, if one of these corners want to play for you, like we threw out a few names yesterday, Xavier Howard, Gilmore is a name that I would be intrigued in. I think Gilmore's better than Okuda.
Five?
Yeah, that's what I'm like. That's not a lot.
I think Gilmore and Howard both might ask for eight.
Okay, just say it's eight then.
Like, but even it's still not that bad.
Even if it's eight, that gets you down to 15. So, like, why are you trying to save money? I think it. I think it. I think it factors into an extension for Nico Collins.
It's possible, but also when you start talking about depth in the room and the wide receiver room that know the system and know the plays and know everything, you still have guys, and of course they have to play, but Hutchinson and Mechie also have been in the room for over a year to where if you lost Woods, there are other guys, if Noah Brown would suffer an injury, that could step in as they did a year ago. You hope that Hutchinson would play better. You hope Mechie's a different player. So, yeah, it's not as, like, foolproof as taking a guy that has the NFL experience of Woods. But if it helps you to get a better player depth-wise at running back or at corner or at somewhere else, and you can get maybe two of them, then maybe it's something he considers.
Yeah, I like the idea of corner. Cody mentioned safety. I think you're out of safety now with the drafting of Bullock. Now, linebacker's one that's interesting because after Al Shire and Christian Harris, it is a steep drop-off.
Yep.
And even if you're playing nickel, it's like, yeah, you could use a little bit of linebacker depth in case one of those guys, like, no one's
guys
playing.
Guys get dinged up.
Yeah, like, I wouldn't, I think it's a good call, and I hadn't really spent a whole lot of time on that. I think you can upgrade backup linebacker. I think that's a spot where I would be willing to spend some money.
Yeah, I mean, you think the average fan could even name the fourth linebacker on the team?
Fourth,
I mean,
no. Third,
like,
yes.
Like, yeah, when you get past Christian Harris, Al Shire,
not
and
sure
Henry
Toto, right.
Like, name the fourth
linebacker.
I don't
think I can either, to be honest with you.
I just pulled it up.
Because I'm looking at their depth chart, but I couldn't have before I looked it up.
No,
I mean, you got guys named like Delshawn Phillips, Jacob Phillips, probably not related, Neville Hewitt. I mean, I haven't heard any of these guys.
I remember Hewitt. Hewitt was the special teams guy.
Yeah.
He's a really good special teams guy.
Looking at guys, like, to Jeremy's point, there's all special teams players. You got three guys that you even won on the field actually playing as a linebacker. So if they're going to make a move, I do agree with Jeremy. I think it's probably to make room for an extension, probably being Nico Collins. But if they're going to add to a position, I think linebacker would be a good place to do it.
I think there's a real chance, too, that when he says he's going to cut players, I think it's some of these guys that we've never heard of. Like, we hear that and we're like, oh, it's Robert Woods, when it's probably Delshawn Phillips.
Right.
It's probably
Tarantino.
Mario Edwards Jr. You know what I mean? Like, it's probably David Sharp. Like, it's, and some of those guys might have been signed this offseason and not realistic names, but you catch my point. Like, instead of being, like, we hear him, yeah, he's going to cut a few guys in a couple of weeks. We're like, oh, is Robert Woods going to be cut? Oh, is this Jimmy Ward? It's probably guy number 87 and 88 on your 90-man roster that you can take into camp. Because, like, you're not really saving a whole lot of money from any of these guys. Robert Woods, you would save $5 million. But you already have $23.5 million in cap space. Why do you need that money? And if you had a wide receiver injury during camp, you're going to wish you had Robert Woods. Jimmy Ward's only a savings of $3.8 million. You're not doing that whenever you – like, if you were to cut him, you're starting a rookie or you're starting Eric Murray. Like, you're not doing that. $2 million, you just signed Akuda. You're not cutting Akuda. You're not cutting Beck. Davis Mills? I doubt it.
No, I don't think so.
You're cutting Davis Mills. You're going to keep three quarterbacks, yeah.
And it's a $3 million savings there. It's a $1.6 million saving on Case. Like, you're not – I think it's a bunch of names we haven't heard of.
I think you're probably right. I think that they're not going to – the only thing that you're looking at is his commentary that he's constantly trying to upgrade the roster. He's looking to improve and add depth. That if there are guys that could make, you know, the depth better, then he'll do it. But I don't think there's a whole lot of urgency to do anything based on all that they've done with the combination of the draft and free agency where they sit currently.
Dre says, what did Ward do last year? He got hurt. He got hurt quite
a lot.
He got hurt quite a bit. But
he knows D'Amico's system, and if he doesn't get hurt, he gives you some position versatility and a guy that knows the system.
And you don't need his cap savings. Like, you don't need the money he's going to save you, which is small peanuts. It's $4 million. Like, you don't need that $4 million. And is your safety room, like, if you look at your safety room right now, your top four, Petrie, Ward, Bullock, and Eric Murray. If you were to cut Jimmy Ward today, is your safety room better for it?
I don't think so.
Not even close.
Because
he's probably your second best corner
of what he does know,
right now.
And if he is healthy, he could be a very beneficial player for you.
Now, if you were to cut him and then you go sign like Justin Simmons, okay, well, we have a much different conversation.
Yes, we do, because I'm all in on that.
Now that and maybe that's how you spend your cap savings, is upgrading marginally. Now, that would be more than marginally. At these different
he's
positions.
He's probably going to look at, like, what, 9 or 10?
Probably, but he's still free. Like, he hadn't been signed.
He is.
And, you know, like, where's – you would think he would get that, but he hadn't.
So that's where you get half of it if you take the Woods contract, if you need it.
Yeah, if Fuentes says Woods stinks, I would save the $5 million and give a young guy a chance. I'm with you, but if you're going to cut Woods, I think it's much more likely when you trim the roster to 53 than right now. Because if Noah Brown and Tank Dell get hurt in camp, don't make it to the regular season, you're kind of screwed. Like, Woods is a solid insurance policy to have on your team and then cut him whenever you trim it to 53. Unless you have another receiver in mind.
Right. No, I agree with that.
Like Will Fuller. 7-1.
I saw that.
No, I'm not really that interested in Will Fuller. People took what I said and, like, went nuts. I'm intrigued with 4-3 speed in this offense. Now, does Will Fuller still have 4-3 speed at this age? Probably not, but I wouldn't mind bringing him into camp to find out.
If he's working out here, and we've talked about it in the past, don't be afraid to kick the tires on guys that are just out there randomly, but that have a history, for one, here in the, with the organization, but two, when healthy, which we know was the biggest issue with, and his hands a little bit, but more so than anything else, being healthy, that he could upgrade your receiver room, all for it.
Yeah, just, I mean,
he is 30, though.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think he is who he was, obviously. But
in this roster, he doesn't need to be.
But he hasn't played football since 2021.
Yeah.
Maybe that's a good thing.
But if he, it's not a good thing.
I mean, in terms of he still has his speed, because hopefully he got healthier.
Yeah, he missed last year because he got like a, what was it? He had an aggravation of a previous injury, which I'm not even sure the previous injury was. But if he is who he used to be, and he's probably not, like 95% chance he's probably not, but if he is, I want to be the team that brought him in to kick the tires on him to figure out if he was.
Especially if he's working out in your backyard.
Yeah, I don't know where he's working out. Is that true?
I think that's true. I think he's working out here at Plex or something.
I didn't know that. That's another little interesting wrinkle. We mentioned today's the day to pick up the fifth-year option on players that were drafted in the 21 draft. Najee Harris had his option declined.
Ooh.
By the Steelers.
Tells you they like Jalen Warren quite a bit, I think.
Yeah, I thought that going into last year, and Harris, like, outproduced him way more than I thought. And I'm a little surprised that he picked up
that option. And early on, he got screwed by a bad offensive line.
Bad offensive line and bad quarterback play. I mean, he's been a victim of bad quarterback play, where if you're the opposing defense, when Kenny Pickett's the quarterback, what are you doing? You're lining up to stop the run because you didn't think Kenny Pickett could beat you. But he's also from a fantasy perspective, like, people will point to his rookie year stats and point to this amazing year that he had, but a lot of it was bolstered by Ben Roethlisberger in the last year of his career just dumping down check down passes to him over and over. You look underneath the hood, he's averaging like 3.8 per carry.
Yeah.
Never really been an efficient runner.
He's underachieved based on where he was taken.
He's been inefficient.
Expected.
He came into the league as an older back. I don't think he's got a whole lot left.
I don't think he – like, I'm not a Najee Harris stan, but at the same time, it's not that expensive.
Right, it's not breaking
the
bank.
And it's not long-term.
Yeah.
I'm a little surprised by that one. 713-780-ESPN.
Well, maybe Justin Fields can play tailback, too, when he's not playing special teams.
An athlete.
Yeah.
You know, I just had a thought. They're going to turn him into Cordell Stewart. They used to have him.
Well, and then after they had him, they had the kid from Indiana. That played quarterback at Indiana.
Antoine Randall-El.
Yeah,
that was after Cordell.
That's what I'm saying. After Cordell, they had another one.
Even Hines Ward played QB at Georgia, right?
Yeah.
Was it Georgia?
No.
He went to Georgia.
He played quarterback before he was in college.
He played quarterback somewhere,
Maybe he played it in college or high school?
Maybe so. Yeah, Antoine Randall-El. I used to love Antoine Randall-El for some weird reason. 713-780-ESPN. I'm not sure what the weird reason is. 713-780-3776. Killer Bees Live, Wakefield Crowbar. When we return, Will of Bits. You never know what you're going to get. You just know that it's going to be radio gold. Killer Bees broadcasting live, Wakefield Crowbar on ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
It's the Killer Bees, and I honestly have no idea what's happening next. Could it be the next great big food debate? The biggest Joel rant of all time? Jeremy trolling someone to the point of crying? Or just some actual bees making some honey? Well, let's find out. It's time for the Wheel of Bits.
Oh my goodness, would you look at this? What an enormous bit.
Let's play food debates.
What an enormous spin. We'll get to the food debates in a moment. 4199, I feel we need an upgraded defensive tackle. I don't think that they feel that way. 1509, Foley was never truly healthy, but you can't teach Siri speed. Siri could run.
Yes, he could.
And then 7308, it's not Bullock, it's Bullock. Okay, I just pulled up the USC pronunciation guide from last year. BUL-LOCK in all capital letters. What do you think that is?
That's lock.
B
Bullock.
Bullock. Bullock.
I've always been told that L-O-C-K is lock.
Yeah, so I'm pretty sure that's Bullock.
I think Drew might agree with you.
So the pronunciation guide from 2023 says Bullock. I've also heard USC. I can't remember. I've heard multiple people. I think it was the USC player that they drafted in the late rounds, seventh round, the defensive end, who was talking about him. And he said Bullock, too. That's why I picked it up on. But the pronunciation guide says B-U-L dash, all capital letters, L-O-C-K.
That's a definitive Bullock.
That's so Bullock.
This texter is saying it's not Bullock, it's Bullock. The pronunciation guide says that it's Bullock. So I'm just going to go off of that, not random text message on our HRP listener line. But we do appreciate you listening to the show. All right, let's get to our food debates. Do you see the turkey leg up? Turkey leg caught fire again.
Again? How many times is this?
Twice.
Twice.
Yep.
Now, they did send an update and said that it wasn't, like, the area they got on fire was not essential to, like, their day-to-day operations. And they were open the next day. They were open on Monday. They were.
They said that the last time when it got their financial operations and business office, which was across the street.
Yeah, it's weird. Like this is.
Hey, we're still open. We're still open, but
there's a lot of smoke with this. They've been on fire twice in non-essential areas. The ex-husband, who was you know running around on his wife, had the little pop-up shop across the street.
Instead of the turkey, it was.
I don't even know.
Seafood or something?
Seafood hut?
Something hut.
Seafood leg hut?
It was a spite store, whatever it was.
It was a spite store.
It was a spite store.
I can't wait for the 30 for 30 on the turkey leg hut.
Oh, it's going to be fantastic.
I want to read the book on the turkey leg hut. It'll be the first book I ever read. But yeah, it's incredible the news we get from the turkey leg. Have you had turkey leg?
I have not.
I have not.
I haven't either. I really want to try it. I almost went Monday.
Where is it located?
I think in the third ward.
A little bit outside of Midtown.
Yeah, I do want to try it. Like, I really need to get there before it burns down for the third time. Like, I better hurry
really,
up.
Because really the divorce is still going through, and it seems like it's getting uglier by the day.
I need to hurry up and get over there before the building burns down.
I can't believe they're still open.
Yeah, I mean, these turkey legs aren't going to sell themselves, Brian.
But
it says they're on Almeda Road. I guess that
Almeda
would be,
what turns into Crawford.
Okay.
The fact that they're still open for business means the turkey legs are still in stock and ready to go.
I love
regardless
turkey
of
legs.
Me too. But regardless of the finances and the other bonfires that are being set, the food's still good and it's still available.
What are their hours? Do you still have it up?
No, I can find it, though. Give me just 2 seconds.
They do a lot of stuffed turkey legs, I think.
I've never had a stuffed turkey leg.
I haven't either.
Yeah.
I'm going original.
I would, too.
Like, I love a good old original turkey leg.
The festival or the fair or whatever.
The two best turkey legs I've ever had, one was Thorne Stadium whenever I was young, right by the airport on Beltway 8, and the second, the Renaissance Festival.
Renaissance
Festival is one, and then the Wisconsin State Fair.
I bet you the rodeos are good, too.
So you got time to get there tonight. They're open until 10 o'clock tonight.
They're open until 10 tonight?
10, yeah.
I thought they were like a lunch spot.
Friday and Saturday, they're open 11 a.m. to midnight.
I was going to say, I thought they served beverages enough to stay open until at least close to bar
Only day
time.
They're closed is Monday. Open every other day but Monday.
How early do they open?
Tonight's 10 o'clock, Friday, Saturday, midnight.
No, how early do they open?
Oh, sorry.
10?
Looks like 11 11 a.m. every day.
Oh, so you can get there for lunch. I mean, I can stop by there for lunch and then drive to the station. Or, when I'm a remote at U of H, it's probably the better time.
There you go.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to try to make that happen next week. Turkey leg review. I mean, I got to hurry. Who knows when they're going to burn down for the third time. All right, the second one we got for you, Laura, who does our HR, our payroll, wears a lot of different hats. She sent us an email the other day asking us what request we have for our new vending machine. Okay. I've never used our old vending machine. Have y'all?
Yes, we have.
Wait, you've never used it?
We both have.
You've used it?
Oh, yeah.
I've never eaten out of the vending machine.
I didn't eat.
We used it to buy
sodas.
Tuna.
Sodas.
That was Joe. Joe ate the tuna.
Tuna. I've never used the vending machine.
I use the vending machine for sodas.
Okay. Have you used it, Brian?
Oh, yeah. Especially when I was working the sports map shifts before sports map, rest in peace, went away. I use the vending machine quite a bit.
So we're getting a new one. It's a refrigerated vending machine. She asked us to send her request. What are our must items that we have to request? 713-780-3776.
We both have the same one for a beverage.
Refrigerated vending machine.
Coke Zero.
Yeah, Coke Zero.
Okay.
Yeah, I literally told, like, there's more that I want, but I literally sent the email to Laura. It's like, just make sure it has Coke Zero.
Oh,
me too.
Really?
And then she's like, well, bottle or can? I go, either. It doesn't matter. As long as there's Coke Zero,
Joel and I literally have the exact same response.
Yeah.
Okay, that's not a bad, I'm trying to quit sodas.
I mean, there's more things that I want, but that's the must.
Have you? I was at the airport the other day, and it's the first time I've seen this. They had refrigerated salads in a vending machine.
Yeah.
They like in a big like tub.
Yeah.
And then you get it, and then you shake it all together.
They have some of it too. Those kiosks where they just have they stock the pre-made salads where
they'll
you
have, like,
on the go.
Too.
You just drop your credit card real quick, pick it up, and go.
But a vending machine was weird to me. I'd never seen that
for
before.
Freshness. I would doubt the freshness of like the vegetables.
I hope that they refill it every day.
Yeah.
I hope they like.
I don't know
that
they do.
Yeah. Well, so, hope not probably.
An Astros win streak in the vending machine. I don't think you can find that there. 3-2-4-3. I hope that you're not doing that stuff at work. So is there anything that we need in this refrigerated? I'm not probably not going to use it.
I also put popcorn on there.
Okay, yeah, the refrigerated part of that's critical.
No, well, you know what? For the kernels, it is. If you're doing with the microwave popcorn,
you can't have popcorn before a show though.
Why?
Yeah, it's going to make salty. It's going to make you all flimmy and your voice kind of scratchy.
And then
you don't have time during the breaks. If you were going to do it, I mean, we got 3 minute breaks max. You're not going to have time to get that pop to get back.
Yeah, you're going to have to that's like a drive-home snack.
Yeah, that'd be a drive-home snack for sure.
You can get the
unless you're driving home to get
the bags of the popcorn. You don't have to get – if you don't get the microwave, then you can get the skinny pop or
okay. Yeah, you could do the skinny pop. Yeah, that's true.
It's already pre-made. It's
like
good, and they're good, yeah.
Yeah, I still think it's a salty snack before a show.
I could do it.
I don't know if I'd recommend that.
Do you have things that you swear off right before you call a game?
Oh,
like, I've always heard dairy is like you cannot – like. And that's something I swear by. Like, I will not have anything with dairy right before I'm going to go on air.
Try to drink
because it makes me all phlegmy.
Just water. Like, I'll have coffee, but coffee I don't love before a game. It just kind of gives me some energy.
Coffee's tough because it can cause you – could be a reason to have to go, and I don't want that during a game.
Yeah, that would be like, the coffee's risky because, you know, coffee's a natural diuretic.
Yep, sure is.
But I try to avoid salty because it gets your mouth all kind of, you know, scratchy like you were talking about. And then I try to do anything that, you know, any foods that I know can lead to a certain activity.
Sure.
Yeah, I try to avoid that. And before the show, too. I try to eat light, drink just water, stuff like that.
Yeah, well, usually you're eating soup before the show.
Not always.
No,
you eat soup a lot. Well, it's like soup or what? Panda Express?
I don't think I eat
Panda Express.
Panda Express, you eat soup a lot.
Maybe once every 2 weeks.
Maybe you cut down, but there was a time it felt like every time I saw you before a show.
In the summer, I'm going to do soups way less.
Well, like,
soups
sure.
are more of a.
Yeah,
but in football season, you'll do it more.
Yeah, it's a little cooler.
Yeah.
Honey Glazed Branham says put sushi in those vending machines.
Oh, that's
they
like
did put tuna in there. They did put tuna.
They did have tuna, but it was like, you know, they could live on there forever. Let's see. A couple of turkey legs. Get some gas station burritos in there. That sounds terrible.
Oh, no, thank you.
Although that gas station by the station has those gyros that are actually, all world.
They're actually
all
really
world good.
Good. Yeah, the gyro.
Yep.
Yeah, it's a Valero gas station. You wouldn't expect it.
They have
a Greek restaurant. It's at the corner of Richmond and South Rice. And their gyros are fantastic.
Sage, well,
I've been meaning to try it. Turkey legs are good. Try a stuffed one and a regular one with sauce. They got a couple different flavors. Very good. All right, I might try that.
Okay.
Oyster Hut was the name of the spike store.
I knew it was seafood.
Okay.
Insurance scam hit. I think that's what we're all saying. And then 7308, who was getting a little sassy with me about the Bullock, says apparently his last name's Bullock. He says it's very disconcerting to hear my own name pronounced that way. The Rockets have one, too. Reggie Bullock.
Yeah.
That's right.
It's not Bullock.
That's right.
It's Bullock.
Yep.
So it's not, you know, it's not just specific to him.
But he early in his career, for multiple years, he was Bullock, and then he changed it to Bullock.
Bullock is the more popular way to say it, for sure.
That's why I've been
like,
saying
like
it.
Keith Bullock, Reggie, the linebacker.
Reggie Bullock is the first time I had heard it pronounced that way. But then when the Texans drafted this guy, I heard everybody else talking about him. They were saying Bullock. So it must be Bullock. And then I just looked at the pronunciation guide, and it's Bullock. All right, what is your car wreck of the day, Bullock? 713-780-ESPN. What are you nominating for the car wreck of the day? It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios located at Wakefield Crowbar. Here's the Killer Bees, Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Spencer Arrighetti's music. First time we've played the music legitimately. Like we came up with the song last week. We missed it. So what is Arrighetti give the Astros today, Blankers?
He's going to give you 5-3.
5-3.
Yeah,
I'll take it.
Sold. I would absolutely sign up for
5-3.
Let's do it. Sold. They win if he gives you 5-3. All right, let's get to our car wreck of
the day. I was on fire last night with that other one.
You nailed it.
Except he threw an extra inning. I kind of wanted him to sit down. I wanted to complete the day.
You all right?
My leg's broken. The ball's coming through.
Let me see. I'll give you a f***ing bone, you prick. Where's my f***ing money?
This is the car wreck of the day.
2180 says Evergreen Astros car wreck. A couple of texters are mad at us that we gave Turkey Leg Hut some free advertisement. They say it's terrible. So I guess different strokes from different folks. Some people like it, some people don't. I feel like, yeah. Yeah.
You got to find out, report
back. Send us your recommendations for restaurants we should promote with food and gift cards.
That's not a bad idea. All right, what are you nominating for the car wreck of the day?
I'm going to say the two-headed monster with the Astros last night. I'm going to say Dubin and Caratini's base running, just because it's been the ire of all the Astros today.
Dubin wasn't bad. I mean, Dubin didn't pitch well, but Dubin only gave up one run. If you only give up one run in man-for-man extra innings, that's not awful.
It was a hell of an escape routine.
It was almost very hairy.
Because he set his own table for disaster and got out with only one run. That's why I thought they might win the game.
I'm going to nominate Ryan Garcia, who tested positive for a banned PED.
Of course he did.
Ozempic, I think it was.
Oh, the weight loss thing?
No, it wasn't. It wasn't that.
Okay.
It wasn't. It was a performance enhancing drug that helps you cut weight.
You mean the guy that missed weight by 3 pounds?
Yeah.
Was on something probably, that illegally helped him lose weight?
Probably shouldn't be fighting at that weight class.
No. He's always on something. I'd like to nominate a couple things. The idea of Justin Fields being the kick returner for the Steelers that Jalen Warren talked about is absolutely ridiculous. And then we don't have time to get into the foolery, but Deion Sanders is fighting his ex-players verbally on Twitter.
So is his son.
So are his sons, yeah. So just an absolute car wreck, Deion Sanders and the Colorado program.
And I would like to nominate our marketing associate, who I'm not going to mention by name, because it's close to 90 to 85 degrees outside. He's wearing a puffer jacket, and it's hot outside.
Why aren't you going to mention him by name?
Because I don't know.
There you go.
See, but I wouldn't call you out when you don't know it, but that's fine.
Wow, that's cold. That's cold,
that's
Jeremy.
That's what he does to me on a daily basis.
Oh, man, Jeremy.
How about the family porter? Did you see this? The family porter?
Wasn't he DWO?
Two of them. So they had the one that was the fixing gambler. Games. They had two other brothers that got hit with Deweys. Hit with Deweys. Can you believe that? The brother porter. All right, what's winning?
I kind of like to vote for Deion.
Okay. I'll never take a... missed opportunity.
No matter what he's doing, he shouldn't be out there getting into it on Twitter. You're not going to see Nick Saban and
arguing with former players.
It's just stupid.
All right, let's go. Let's do it with Deion. You're our car wreck of the day. Hall of Fame coming up at 7. Space Cowboys at 7:35. Thanks so much for Wakefield Crowbar having us out. This is your place to be all weekend long. Live music Friday, the fight Saturday, Cinco de Mayo Sunday. Get out to Wakefield Crowbar this weekend. Thanks to them for having us out. Thanks to Austin for doing the hard work. Brian, the on-site engineer. He's Blank on Brandon. We'll talk to you tomorrow, Houston. Good night.
ESPN 97.5.
I assumed you knew.